So I'm sort of like the proverbial dog with a bone. If I get something in my mind, it is hard for me to shake it until I've figured it out, or at least explored to the extent necessary to know that I can't figure it out, or injured myself doing it. In my case, curiosity never killed the cat, but it has injured it on occasion. Take, for instance, my fascination with gravity as a child. When I was about 5 or 6, someone must have told me about gravity. So I was very curious about where the line of demarcation was for when things would just start going up, as opposed to coming back down. So I picked up the biggest rock that my little 5 or 6-year-old hands could carry, and I tossed it in the air. I looked up, it was gone. I had done it. The next thing I remember was being dragged home by my sisters since the rock plummeted to earth and hit me in the head, knocking me out. And I want to say to Randy, I know what you're thinking. Why I'm the way I am. It was a good lesson for an inquisitive and sort of stubborn kid. I feel the same about this particular gospel. As I was reading it, I was getting hit in the head with a particular part that I couldn't ignore. And it actually was a part that isn't there. Did you notice that? Today's gospel, there are some verses missing. This is what it would sound like if it were intact. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to them all by shutting up John in prison. And then it continues, now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove. I know that today's focus is the baptism of our Lord, and I'll get there. But I'm fascinated by these missing verses, and I can't tell you why the lectionary did not include them, but I can tell you why I wish they were there. Amidst the joy of life, there is hardship. I mean, not that the whole burning with unquenchable fire is necessarily comforting, but John in prison is pretty jarring for his followers. He left them without a leader whom they knew. He left them without a leader whom they trusted as of yet. But he had told them that the true leader was among them, and that this leader was more powerful and worthy than he to lead them. He had prepared them for the future by acknowledging Jesus as their Messiah, and one for whom he would faithfully and readily step aside. If you recall, on the 4th Sunday of Advent, Bill talked about how John's mother, Elizabeth, was willing to put aside her news of her miraculous pregnancy to celebrate Mary as Theotokos, or God-bearer. And John, not unlike his mother, was willing to step aside, despite the fact that he had a great many followers. For he knew what his followers needed, and he put them first. He put them first by putting God first. When I am struggling with something, I will often ask myself, as many of you have probably heard me ask you, where is God in all of this? Where is God in the midst of my trouble or my sorrow? Where is God when I need God? And when I perceive that God has left me to my own devices, which never really is a good idea, God is right there among his people in the incarnate form of Jesus. He was baptized with them and is found praying. And during this prayer, God offered himself in an incarnate form again as the Spirit descending in the body of a dove. The voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with you I am well pleased." I mean, talk about a great character reference. I don't think it gets better than that. John was the precursor, but Jesus was the Savior. John lived apart from people. Jesus lived with them. In the midst of the sorrow about their leader whom they lost, Jesus chooses to be among them. He chooses to be baptized with them. And although it is a baptism of repentance, it is one of which he had no need. He chose to be with his people. The lectionary is filled with stories of God being with his people in times of need. And in the midst of their messes, some of which I'm sure they've made themselves, as I've made many of my own, today's Old Testament reading begins, "But now says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." God promises to be with them when they pass through difficult times. Rivers do not overwhelm them. Fire does not consume them. God has ransomed captive Israel. I think we sang that at Christmas. And God says, "Do not fear, for I am with you." We fall. We fail. Individually as well as in community. And God stays at our side. Again and again and again. The psalm provides more of the same promise, and it serves as a reminder to ascribe to the Lord the glory and power and splendor of his being. For even the voice of God is in the thunder, it flashes forth flames of fire, and it can do marvelous and wondrous things. It can do things beyond our wildest imagination. God is with us. In the waters of baptism, God seals God's love for us, no matter what we might have done and what might happen. In the waters of baptism, God gives evidence of what God says to Jesus. "You are my child, the Beloved. With you, I am well pleased." God is with us. And we must remember, baptism does not exempt us from the hardships of life. What happens to Jesus after he is baptized and after he prays? Well, he leaves the healing waters of the Jordan to face temptation in the desert. And although he has no human companionship, he is led by the Spirit for those 40 days. And after this crucible of challenge, he comes back and truly begins his ministry, finding himself among the broken, presenting himself to lead them to wholeness. And we know what follows is not all sweetness and light. We go through these cycles every year. We've kind of read ahead. Shortly after he begins his ministry, he is rejected in his hometown of Nazareth. Yet despite the setbacks in his ministry, he stuck to it. His baptism and time in prayer in the desert created the path he followed with intent and integrity. All of us are on a path. Some have hit difficult terrain. And if we haven't, we will. Yet we never travel alone. The Spirit traveled with Jesus, the man in the desert. And the God who can make calves skip with his voice, can shake the cedars of Lebanon. It is that unimaginable strength that can and will do all things, even bring us peace with its presence, after our world is turned upside down, right side up, upside down. Yes, we gather in community to witness the presence of God. We gather to find solace and comfort in times of trouble, and we gather to celebrate our joys. We gather to do our best to live into our commitment we made in our baptismal vows. In baptism, the outward sign is water. The inward and spiritual grace is union with Christ in his death and resurrection, birth into God's family, the church, forgiveness of sins, and new life in the Holy Spirit. Union, birth, forgiveness, and new life. Those, my friends, are certainties. And the rest? Unknown. Uncharted. And so I turn to Thomas Merton and his prayer, The Road Ahead. My Lord God, I have no idea where I am going. I do not see the road ahead of me. I cannot know for certain where it will end, nor do I really know myself. And the fact that I think that I am following your will does not mean that I am actually doing so. But I believe that the desire to please you does in fact please you. I hope I have that desire in all that I am doing. I hope that I will never do anything apart from that desire, and I know that if I do this, you will lead me by the right road, though I may know nothing about it. Therefore, I will trust you always. Though I may seem to be lost and in the shadow of death, I will not fear, for you are ever with me, and you will never leave me to face my perils alone. God is with us. Amen.